You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for the great outdoors of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish, the person who helps me float this raft down the river and take the rapids as they come. Danielle Fairman, the river of life. Except she stops the raft and sticks her hands under rocks.
Sure do.
Hoping that something will bite onto it like a 42-pound catfish.
Somebody needs to get dinner.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a skeert.
I know. I ain't scared to get dinner.
Danielle Fairman and I have been together for decades, almost two decades now, living and loving the outdoors together. We eat together. We've gone hunting together for years. And gall darn it all, she's pretty awesome on the radio, too.
Oh, snap. So are you. Right back at you.
Thank you. I tell everybody, Raised in Wisco is not just a radio show. It is also a
cooking show.
And you're going to hear about that today. But first, before we get into our weekly Wisco, before we talk about events of the moment, and before we talk about this great time to be a Wisconsinite and experience everything in the great outdoors, I got to introduce somebody.
Ooh-wee.
We have a brand new producer for Raised in Wisco. Now, I'm a little worried. He's just working with us, so he has something amazing to put on his resume. But Jake,
part of it, yeah.
Jacob, what's going on, man? We are excited to be working with you. Of course, we will always laud the memory of the time we had with producer Jess. She was fantastic, and we're actually planning hunts with her right now. I'm actually going to Zone 1 on Friday and Saturday to scout turkeys because I so much care about getting her, getting a turkey in front of her. But Jacob is our new producer. Jacob, what's going on? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Hey, Jacob,
tell them
what you've won.
I've won a great new show to work on with great coworkers. I'm so excited, Joel.
Wow, that was almost enough to be believable.
I can't express how excited I am.
I love the hand gestures, too.
If you could see him in the fishbowl. Now, Jacob's in the fishbowl here, and you should see him. He's got hand gestures. He's like my Italian mom. She spoke louder with her hands than she did with her mouth, and believe me, that was loud. That was a high bar.
I wonder how long until Jacob gives you the other hand gestures.
Well, if he follows the women in the studio, that won't take very long. Jacob, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you come from and how'd you get here?
Well, I started in radio like 5 years ago. I ended up hosting my own sports show for 3 years. I didn't know anything about sports, really. I mean, I knew as much about it as everything else I knew about, but became an expert. So I'm thinking maybe the same thing can happen here. Maybe I can learn how to hunt and cook things I kill. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, oh my gosh.
I love that he's looking forward to it.
I think you just hit the jackpot with us because we love nothing more than somebody who's willing to learn and willing to try the outdoors in a way that they haven't. And that is, to me, the most exciting part about the show, except for obviously eating. Eating's my favorite part about life, really. Food is my favorite dish.
Well, talking with Jacob before the show, he said he's not experienced in the outdoors. He has gone fishing before.
Oh, nice.
Yes. But he has not prepared the fish afterwards. So he's just more of a catch release that I got from that conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
More of a catch and release coward who's afraid to touch a fish.
Touch a fish?
Okay. I'm learning. Because I haven't done it enough.
Yeah, you're learning.
They look frightening, these fish.
Some of them are very slimy, too, so it's going to be fun.
I've seen Jaws.
All right. Well, Jacob, we shook hands when I came in here, so you're not afraid to touch all fish, right?
You touched
a clay fish.
Start the dad joke tally.
Come on, that was pretty good. I thought that was pretty good.
Do you know about the dad jokes in on this show?
I think I'm getting the gist of it. Yeah.
Yes, we count dad jokes on this show. I have to be honest, though. In the last couple of weeks, Ellie Mae Lawton, our chefery, has caught up to me on dad jokes. She's actually been throwing them in. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the fact that we are extremely privileged on this show to have our own certified French culinarian, the chefery of Raised in Wisco, the official chef of Raised in Wisco, who's actually the official chef who is an actual college graduated official chef.
Yes.
Ellie Mae Lawton. What's up, Ellie?
Hey, Joel.
Hey, Ellie.
Mr. Fish. Can we call you that?
Well,
you're the fishery of the show.
Hey, that's not bad. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a dad joke. You better write that down, Jacob. I think that counts as a dad joke. You know, Filet of Fish was one of my nicknames.
I bet it
filet
was.
Filet of Fish.
Filet of Fish. Clay fish, filet of fish.
A little nice. Cheesy.
I had to... Ooh, dad joke
dad
number
joke
two.
Number two. Sorry for all the extra work, Jacob.
I'm impressed.
I think that's actually dad joke from Ellie number two and dad joke from me one. So I think Ellie's winning.
Which, I love that there's a tally going on right now. Are we starting brand new, fresh slate with
Jacob? I think
Jacob?
So. I think we got to start all a tally right. with Jacob. I think he's going to fit in very nicely.
Hey, can we just start marking it with Sharpie on this table?
That, why would it not surprise me if that's actually something you did?
You gotta, yeah, on this side over here. Just kidding.
You know, all chefs have a little vandal in them.
That's true.
I'm going to tell you something.
Whoa, wait, what?
I'm not joking about this. There is an element. See, I'm going to get accused of stereotyping here, but ooh. I've known some chefs in my time. I mean, obviously food's very important to me. Restaurants are very important to me. Mm-hmm. So now we can put this to the test. Chef Lawton, I have heard, and I want to ask you if it's true that there's a very fine line between like the criminal element and chefs.
What is happening?
I have heard.
What kind of people are you hanging out with?
I think Jacob's going to need to stop recording so we can have a side conversation.
Oh, that means there's something to it.
What is happening?
That means there's something.
I have so many questions.
Chefs are actually like they're risk takers. They like, you know, I mean, they're thinking outside of the box. They're extremely creative. Mm-hmm. They're, I mean, well,
our
know.
Creative juices are
like
always
like what
flying.
Kind of criminal activity well, are you talking about?
I don't know.
About?
I didn't really say criminal activity.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I have gone to a restaurant and said, this burger's so good, it's a crime. dad joke.
Oh, man.
I can't.
That was not beefy at all.
Oh, what is going on? She's matching me.
Flowing
dad joke
out of me.
For dad joke today.
Am I a dad? What's happening?
Oh, I don't know, but if you keep going, we're going to be in a real pickle.
Oh,
Danielle, get it together.
No, I can't. Oh. You guys make the dad jokes. I just laugh over here. That's
fine.
That's just me.
That's perfectly fine. I think it's time to talk about our weekly Wiscos.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because this weather lately has been beautiful.
Oh, indecisive?
Perfect.
Well, it has
no,
been. But that's
I
just
love
Wisconsin.
It.
I mean,
it's always indecisive.
It was snowing on Monday.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, but you know what? You save a lot in airfare because you can have 70s one day,
yes,
20 the next day. So it's like you're traveling around the world.
Oh, yep.
It is. It is like you don't need to travel to experience all the climates of the United States. Just stay in for one week in Wisconsin.
You should see
April.
The backseat of my truck right now. I have 4 different outfits for all the seasons.
Same.
Yeah. Seriously.
And I just keep rotating through them.
Yeah, well, I keep 2 different types of coats in the truck at all times, yeah. Just in case. So, Danielle, what do you got for Weekly Wisco?
For the Fairman household, it is a very important week because the beginning of April is when my parents open up. Well, they don't open up their lake house, but that's when all the children start invading the area.
Ooh, fun.
So
I like it.
It was the beginning of our summer, the Fairman summer, where we go out to my parents' place in Ombro, and we start fishing off the pier.
Ooh,
got
fun.
Northern bass and everything right off the pier, watching the sunsets. All the ducks and geese are flying in, the cranes, the pelicans. It's the most beautiful place.
Wow, that's cool. I saw... Well, I'm going to go just because this is on the tip of my tongue, but I have to say, for me, the Weekly Wisco is the beautiful flowers that I have been seeing everywhere.
Where have you seen?
Popping up.
What? Oh, starting? Just the greenery.
I'm not even kidding. No, tulips, I saw daffodils already. I haven't seen tulips yet.
My tulips are coming up.
Yeah, they're coming up. They haven't flowered yet for me. But yeah.
And then the little purple ones, I don't remember what they're called. The ones that come up before they come up before daffodils.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
The landscape purple short flowers.
I saw the coolest. I've seen white-fronted geese. I've seen Canada geese. I've seen golden eyes like crazy. Mm-hmm.
Buffleheads like crazy.
I had golden eyes and buffleheads in the little duck scrape behind my house the other day. Just beautiful. And some little, I think it was a teal, which would have been weird, but I don't know. Pretty cool. So that's my Weekly Wisco, the combination of those really cool things to see. Mm-hmm. What do you got, Ellie?
We talk about the sunsets a lot, but lately the sunrises, oh my gosh, they're so beautiful. And the mornings have been so calm. I think we had like one really windy morning this last week, but it's just been so calm and beautiful. I'm outside feeding the horses super early and watching the sun come up over the trees. It's just perfect.
Oh man, that sounds so awesome.
And then I stayed home a lot and studied dad jokes.
Very clearly. Jacob, did you do something outside or see something outside this week that was fantastic? Do you have a Weekly Wisco prepared for us or unprepared?
You know, actually, I think I do have a Weekly Wisco.
Let's hear it.
Okay, just today, I walked around the block of this place here in Racine, and I think I saw a squirrel.
Jacob, whoa, you're going to fit in.
You're
just
so adventurous.
Fine.
So I'm getting adventurous.
I think Jacob's
I love that. You know what? You were outside enjoying nature,
fine.
And that's all that matters.
There was a squirrel. So.
Yes.
I saw a squirrel.
I think squirrel. I saw a squirrel. He thinks.
It could have been a shoe. I don't know.
He thinks he saw a squirrel. That's nuts.
Oh wow. Oh my
god. This is just
gosh.
The first segment. Calm down, somebody out there
is writing down these dad jokes because you could make your own book of dad jokes like Ellie read over the weekend and have it to be in the show. This is the time of year in Wisconsin where the most happens. Because this is the time that nature is renewing and mm-hmm. preparing itself for the hunting seasons, the fishing seasons of fall. And of course, we have turkey hunting coming up, which is so exciting. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk more about how awesome recipes can be part of your spring and some of the things you can forage throughout Wisconsin as well. I'm so excited about it. And we appreciate having you along on all our civic media stations throughout the state on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Go is your place to learn what the heck to do in the outdoors of Wisconsin. Now, look, I'm not pretending to think that you don't know what to do when you go outside. What I'm saying is every week I learn more about what this state has to offer. My name's Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco, heard across the state on your civic media stations. We love having you along because we get ideas from you and we love thinking that maybe we are inspiring folks to get outside and enjoy all the amazing offerings of this state. And that is so important to me that I have two individuals in the studio here with me, co-host Danielle Fairman, who is fantastic at helping that job of getting people into the outdoors, and Ellie Mae Lawton, our official Raised in Wisco certified chef, to talk about what to do with the stuff, with the junk you find in the woods.
And I actually did get two questions for you.
Oh,
from people listening on the radio. They messaged me on my personal page on Facebook.
Okay.
Holy cow.
And one of the questions, if we can dive into this right away.
Do
I know,
it.
I know cooking
no
segments
time
normally.
Than the
hey, I'm going to just tell everybody if they slide into my DMs on Facebook, I will not answer because I don't check my messages ever.
So just message me, slide into my
Danielle's.
Sliding into Danielle's DMs.
That's okay, great.
What do you got?
One of the questions. You talk about how all these fancy meals are accessible for everybody.
Yeah,
everybody can have it, but people are intimidated by, when you say fancy, you think of black garlic that you gave me one day. Like, where Ooh. In the world would you get black garlic? What store? So one of the questions was, where does she shop? Just Sendix, the rich people place? And the other question.
Let's slow down for a second.
Settle down.
I'm going to jump in and defend Sendix.
Oh, yeah.
Sendix
Real
is
quick,
wonderful.
It is. I love
but,
Sendix.
But the reason I'm going to defend Sendix.
I'm going to, when you're done, too.
The reason I'm going to just defend, I do not think Sendix does have slightly higher prices on certain items. And the reason they do is because there is a less of a demand for those specific items. They have to seek them out. And it costs more for Sendix to get those specialty items into their store.
Yes, it does.
So
as someone that works on the food distribution side, I can confirm that is
our
true.
Chef Ellie Mae Lawton, her professional career is not only as a chef, but also a food working for a massive food distribution network in the state as well.
In the country.
Oh, yeah.
In the world,
yes.
Even, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You work for, not Reinhart, it's
Performance
Food Service, which was Reinhart, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry if anyone at work is getting mad at me for saying that.
Oh, no.
Oh, all right. Performance Food
Just
Service.
Just kidding, guys. I don't work there.
You work for a very prestigious large food supplier. So you get to, this is a whole nother fascinating subject.
I know all the back end stuff of how food gets to everybody.
Wow.
Jeez.
It's fascinating.
Is it?
It sounds fascinating. Mm-hmm. Food distribution and supply. Because in this country we have such high standards, it's got to be really quality stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We
source the highest quality products from all over the world. It's
incredible. So mostly schools, what is it, hospitals?
Everything. If there's food, we're there.
Wow.
Institutions, 5-star restaurants, food trucks, everything.
You are sincerely, I mean, holy cow, what a better combination of things could you be than a chef and someone who works in food distribution?
Yeah, I kind of like food.
Yeah. Aww, is that why you guys are besties?
Wait a minute.
That's why we're culinary besties.
Is food your favorite dish?
Oh.
You know what? Joel Clayfish, it is.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, I think Danielle's along those lines too. Danielle likes
food
quite a bit.
Okay, we got a little off track.
Weird. Jess, where are you?
Danielle, finish your question,
please.
So the
question was, where do you normally shop? Do you have a particular store you go to for all these fancy recipes?
That's a great question. And okay, so these recipes are not fancy. I will tell you, if you walk into your local Piggly Wiggly, your Metro Market, your Sendix, your Aldi, they will have all of the ingredients that you need for the recipes that we talk about. So do not think that those are not accessible, because Joel has seen me cook several times now. I'm pretty crafty and we use a lot of basic ingredients and turn them into fantastic dishes. I really talk about simplicity a lot because I like to go back to the old school basics and then put a new twist on them. So meat and potatoes, man, that will always be my foundation. But you can put a fun twist on it and use everyday items that you find at the grocery stores. Now, do I get a little crazy sometimes and go to the Asian markets or the Hispanic markets? Because we are blessed to actually have a lot of them in our area and find some really cool ingredients. Heck yeah, I do, because I love it.
Nice.
So that's just part of my culinary exploration.
Look at you. You're so proud. I love that.
That was actually a really good answer. That was a great answer.
Wait, hold on. I want to talk about the Sendix piece for a second, too.
Going back to that one.
Sendix is fantastic. And I know a lot of people talk about the price tag on some of the items. And to Joel's point, he's absolutely correct about, you know, the demand, supply and demand, right? That's what impacts all the cost for everything that we deal with.
It does.
Sendix, I will go there for certain things because I know that when I go there, it's going to be quality and I might pay a little bit more for it, but it's going to last me longer than if I were to go get maybe a cheaper, not as fresh version. So when I'm purchasing something, I'm looking to get a little shelf life out of it, not just take it home and in 2 days I got to pitch it, because then what good is it? Then it's super expensive, right? No matter where you buy it,
you have to go back and buy it again.
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the other question,
Danielle? The second question was...
I love learning, and I love learning about food stuff. So these are probably questions that came to my mind as well.
The second question was staples. Like, what staples do people need to have in their house for these recipes? Like, what is in your kitchen at all times?
Okay. I will tell you a few of my staples. Number one is right wing sauce, which I know Joel will laugh.
I love it.
That is fantastic. We put it in everything, on sauces for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's fantastic. It's a great component. So I'll jump off of the right wing sauce wagon for a minute, and I will get back to my staples that I have in my cupboard. My spice cupboard is a little bit crazy because I try a lot of stuff, but always a really high quality black pepper, like fresh.
High quality?
Yes, like a good.
How do you determine a high quality black pepper?
I'm just picturing the big black pepper with the red cap. What is that, McCormick or whatever it is?
Yeah. So
that's the only thing
I could talk about pepper alone for like 2 hours.
What?
I will tell you some of the best black pepper, like the grinders, are the ones that Sendix has.
Of course.
Okay, so a good high quality salt and pepper, and then also buttermilk. Buttermilk in the fridge, fresh eggs.
What about
garlic.
Buttermilk in a can? Can you know how you
buttermilk in a can?
Don't they have? No, that's condensed.
I think
milk.
We're gonna need to get back to your milk. I think you're confused about the milk, Joel.
Hey, I love, this is absolutely fascinating to me. I can't wait to talk more about what you need in your kitchen to cook. We're going to talk about how to shop in the outdoors for free in Wisconsin.
Yes.
We're
going to
figure out what Jacob loves. Springtime ain't nothing better. The entire woods and the outdoors are prepping, getting ready. They've got, I'm seeing little yearling baby deer all over the place. The turkeys are hatched and rocking and rolling now, and it is going to be a phenomenal spring turkey season.
It is.
I cannot wait. We were just talking about Chef Ellie Lawton suggesting what you should have in the kitchen when you want to get started. What are your staples for the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
And she started with black pepper. In a million years, I would not have said black pepper will be the first thing.
I started with right wing sauce.
Oh, you did start with right wing sauce.
Yeah,
that's
come on,
true.
Joel. We'll get it together.
That's true.
Remember.
But black, I guess the black pepper, it so surprised me because I think that's just literally an item people is an afterthought versus a staple.
Yeah.
But you're saying there are different quality black peppers?
Yeah, there certainly is. So I think that is at the top of my list because I don't use a lot of salt in my cooking. I would rather taste flavors or fresh herbs and spices.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Mm-hmm.
I use black pepper in almost everything. Not only is it really good for you, but it tastes fantastic. And when you have a fresh, cracked black pepper, it's amazing. To me, it is.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I make biscuits and gravy, a Southern biscuits and gravy, and it's such a simple recipe. It'll blow your mind. And you can do it literally zero carb. You know, I know a lot of people use flour in their biscuit and gravy, in their Southern white gravy.
Yeah.
I don't use a roux to make it. I make it with just cream, heavy cream, milk. I use just a splash of milk. I use a little stock, whether that's chicken stock or stock I've got from some goose that I've put in the crock pot. I'll use stock. And then there are three other ingredients and that is it. A little salt.
What's your thickener?
Cracked black pepper. Mm-hmm. And I will thicken it with a quarter teaspoon of xanthan gum instead of using. And you know what's crazy? I think that when you eat, you know, biscuits and gravy, because I'll eat that almost every breakfast I go to. That's kind of my, that will tell me if the place is a good place for breakfast, how their biscuit gravy is. And throughout the South, so often I would eat biscuit gravy and I couldn't figure it out because I didn't get that flour roux taste. You know, that flour roux's got a little bit of like a sweet, and pasty's not the right word, but it hits your tongue differently.
Yeah, and it coats your mouth.
And it coats your mouth. In the South, you almost, you get a thickened sauce without that floury taste. And I think, and I, one, I asked a woman one time at a place that served swamp cabbage in Florida.
Swamp cabbage?
Yeah, when we were down there hunting alligators, there was a place that wanted to take us.
Yeah.
Save that thought because I want to hear it because I know you got a thought, Danielle. I can read it from a mile away on your face. But there's a place down there that's got turtle fingers.
What?
Yeah. Turtle. What? They serve turtle.
Turtle's delicious.
Not the actual fingers of the turtle.
I don't think turtles have fingers.
It's just the legs, Danielle.
This is funny just to imagine.
Frog. Why? The recipe is
fingers?
Turtle. Well, you know, like chicken fingers aren't made out of chicken's fingers.
They're not.
Weird. Chickens don't have fingers?
What the heck?
Well, they have feet. You can eat chicken feet, though.
You can eat chicken feet.
I make chicken feet and eat them.
Oh, we're doing this. So,
yeah,
we're
my
is
parents
that an Asian
just
recipe?
No.
God, we're doing
my
that.
My parents just gave me a big bag of chicken feet, so I'm prepped and ready to go. Also, a staple
awesome
for my kitchen is chicken feet.
Well, when it comes to food,
first stocks and stuff, and then just eating just them.
When it comes to food, I've never really been a foot guy, but let's try the chicken feet. I'm in. So chicken fingers. So they have turtle fingers. They have frog legs.
Yum.
They have swamp cabbage, which is heart of palm soup, which is phenomenal. And they have, what were we just talking about? I lost my train of thought already.
Gravy.
And gravy. Biscuit gravy. And I said, ma'am, can you please tell me what you do to make this gravy the consistency that it is? She said, sugar. That's a secret.
And of course
I said,
it is.
I know it is. But can you tell me the ingredient that you're using to thicken this gravy? And she said, y'all give me a minute. And she came back and she said, cook said it's just a little bit of xanthan gum. And so that's what I've been using ever since.
Wow.
It really makes
a
difference.
So that's a staple in your house.
Biscuit gravy is a staple in my stomach on Sunday mornings.
What I've learned is don't tell that lady a secret.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me go ask somebody else.
And don't tell Joel a secret either.
Clearly.
Tell everybody.
I like to broadcast it on 21 stations throughout Wisconsin. Our new producer, Jacob, who's with us, is doing a fantastic job, obviously, so far. Jacob, what's your food line? What do you love when it comes to food?
I like a nice, delicious steak, Joel.
Oh.
Nothing beats a good, well-cooked steak.
I think if somebody had to say, you know, what would you like on your table the rest of your life, it'd still be steak and potatoes.
Every
steak
day.
Steak and potatoes for me.
Yep.
And another staple in the kitchen.
Tomahawk, if we're getting precise.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a good tomahawk. I'm in. Bone marrow butter.
Oh, bone marrow butter,
forget
yes.
about it. The hair on my arm is raising right now because of bone marrow. It's so good.
So good.
Yes. So keep talking about staples. I want to hear.
Well, I was going to say butter is my other staple. And if you're not putting butter on top of your steak, you're not living.
Exactly.
Now, do you baste with it? while it's frying? If you're doing it in a cast iron?
Yes, I will. So if I make steak in a cast iron pan, I will put usually a sprig of fresh thyme and rosemary, mm-hmm. and I'll baste it with some butter. Usually I'll do brown butter, right? And then when I eat it, put a big scoop of butter on top.
Absolutely. And then let it sit for a little bit so it all melts in there.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of living in Wisconsin is we cannot get enough of our dairy products. And we've got the best butter in the world here.
I do not remember what I was listening to, but it said that Wisconsinites eat an average 39 pounds of cheese a year.
Oh my gosh.
Per person.
That's hilarious.
39 pounds.
I believe that.
Well,
but we're the third. I believe California was the first.
I don't know what everyone else is eating because my average is probably around 100 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I could eat cheese all day long, every day. Absolutely love Wisconsin cheese. And now the specialty cheeses we have in this state are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
And you guys were just at Tenuta.
All I gotta say is praise Jesus.
Gosh.
Jacob, did you get that one down?
Yeah. I'm looking for the dump button right now.
There's no doubt about that. But I want to talk about something. I want to talk about shopping in the Wisconsin outdoors.
Love
because
it.
I'm telling you, I do not think people realize all the foraging that is available in Wisconsin from spring through fall.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do to put that, and spring is really a time to get out there and forage for the wild things in Wisconsin. So I'm going to go around the panel here and see if anybody knows, can come up with a different thing, because I'm not going to steal the number one forage item right off the top.
Why? Just say it. Let's just get it out.
All right, let's get it out. Well, yeah. Listen, like they say, the beatings will continue until the morel improves. Mushrooms.
My gosh.
Morel mushrooms, I think they're the black label of Wisconsin foraging in the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. They are.
There is
temperatures in the 60s, lows in the 40s overnight.
Yeah.
Oh,
a good
boy.
Sun, a nice rain, mm-hmm. and then.
Are you
go
a big morel hunter, Danielle?
I am. You know what got me into morel hunting?
Tell me.
Our TV show, Kill It, Clean It, Cook It. We used that in a recipe.
Ah, we sure did.
And
with Jerry Garcia, cook for the Milwaukee Brewers. That's right.
I am not a mushroom person. But
I love mushrooms.
I'll eat them like crazy.
Well.
But only sliced up, you know, in a dish.
You can put them on almost every recipe, even if there's not mushroom.
Oh, goodness. I think he's at 5 and you're at 4.
You're a real fun guy.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
The thing about morels, so I've cooked them. I'm not very lucky at finding them. I don't have the patience for it.
I look down the whole time.
I don't have the patience for it. But I will tell you, the way I cook them is I will just saute garlic in butter, half olive oil, and then throw them in there and saute them. And I can't hardly ever cook with them because I eat them right away by themselves.
I have a sidebar question. I was standing in the aisle at Metro Market.
Okay.
I was going to call you because
there's
so many options for cooking oil. Can I slide my question in there? Because I feel like I did a lot of research. I researched oil before going to the store.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is what the show is doing to me.
Joel knows I'm pretty passionate about the cooking oils. What did you choose? Based off your research, what did you choose?
I can't remember. Okay, I'll have to go. It's extra virgin olive oil and it has sizzle on the top. It's a green bottle. It looks like a hot sauce bottle.
Okay.
Oh, I have to look that up.
Interesting.
Oh, no. I feel like she's judging my choice.
No, I'm processing what you're telling me because in my mind, I'm like, okay, what is she going to use it for? What's the application?
Well, it's just like plain old, like, cooking in your cast iron, just like your normal.
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, what's the flash point of the oil that you got?
I was just going to say, because olive oil has a fairly low flash point.
Correct.
So you got to be careful it burns easily, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. So you want to mix it with something.
I tried avocado oil, but
yeah, really, that's wonderful.
It messes up my stomach.
Interesting.
Yeah. Every time I made a meal with the avocado oil,
So you're trying to stay away from seed oils?
I guess so, yes. Okay. Because I've tried multiple different kinds. That's why I was standing there for like 15
How's
minutes.
How's the olive oil work for you? I find olive oil to be very mild on my stomach.
Yeah, I bought it yesterday. Today was my first day I cooked with it.
I struggle. So. If I use canola or frankly corn oil, it upsets my stomach a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry much to sidebar off. That question.
No, I could talk about oils all day long.
That's a great question. And I think one of the things we underestimate, let's get back.
Let's get back to the
morels are something you can forage that are very common in the spring, and they'll start very early, and they actually go
through
June.
They're
going to
start soon. Yes, mm-hmm. they do.
So you get quite a long time to hunt morels. The only warning I'm going to give out there is that there are mushrooms that look similar to morels that are poisonous. So you do have to be very careful when you pick them.
Yeah, go to your local bookstore, because most of them around here, they will have mushroom guides, and take those out in the woods with you.
So
you don't eat any poisonous mushrooms.
What else can you forage in the spring?
Asparagus. I know a big list.
Asparagus. I know when to forage asparagus because my birthday is June 8th. And I know that leading up to and around my birthday. And there are here's an interesting side fact. The first part of the asparagus is the male part of the asparagus, which is the spear, which is what we eat, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, after the male asparagus grows, the female asparagus, which is literally a large, it looks like a miniature tree is what it looks like. And you can find the spear of the asparagus when you see the little tree, mm-hmm. but the spears come out way before the trees do, and it's really hard to find them if the tree is not out there.
So mark it on your map. Mark it on your phone.
Do you do that?
I do that. I have so many asparagus spots on my Onyx app. Wow, I make those spots green, so I go back to asparagus.
So you have a hunting app that you use for asparagus searching. That's fantastic.
That's wonderful.
Is there anything else to find in the spring?
What about those onions that you guys were talking about?
The ramps.
Ramps. I learned about that last week from you guys.
And I want to talk about that. You have to be careful. You have to do that on private property. You cannot hunt ramps in Wisconsin on public ground. You have to do it on private. But if you see it growing on the side of the road next to someone's yard, knock on their door and ask.
Oh, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah, why not? What else?
I think there are certain types
of mushrooms too.
There's other types of mushrooms, and then
The hen of the woods or whatever.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is late summer's elderberry.
Ooh. Oh. Can I do that with you? I have not done that.
Then there's mulberry. Yes. That's one of the earlier berries.
Rhubarb you can sometimes find growing around.
Wow, that sounds so good. All right, we're going to talk about how to use what you find in Wisconsin's outdoors, what you forage, the hen of the woods, pheasant backs, all those type of mushrooms. If you want to learn how to do it, pick up a book. Every library in Wisconsin, every bookstore in Wisconsin's got a book that'll help you do it. And we're going to put all those together with a couple recipe ideas in our actual recipe segment of the show. This is Raised in Wisconsin. I'm excited. We're talking about food.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Throughout the great state of Wisconsin on 21 Civic Media stations. Tune it in. Old school on the radio. Saturdays at 11 o'clock, anywhere you live in Wisconsin. Give us a listen. I'm telling you, not only are we happy to have you along with us, we are excited that we get to bring you the best of Wisconsin. We have fascinating guests, everyone from the woman who taxidermied Samson to people who run learned hunts to culinary experts like our regular chefferie of the show, Ellie Mae Lawton, who is a classically trained French chef, and the star of the show, Danielle Fairman.
What? No. I think it's the olive oil conversation is the star of the commercial break.
The star
break.
Of the show is olive oil. And we got Jacob in the fishbowl helping us out, steering the ship, controlling the rudder. I can't think of any other analogies.
I think that was enough.
To boats.
Yeah. That was like a Jacob got slap in the face.
I think he's got it.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been nicer to me today than usual. I don't know what's
we
going on. What's in the water?
Jacob into it.
Yeah. I don't know what's in the Jacob. What's going on? Why is everybody being so nice to me today?
You might want to start getting worried about mutiny.
The calm before the storm of mutiny take over. Oh my. This is a fascinating show to me because Chef Lawton is outlining for us some of the things you should have in your kitchen as staples. We're talking about the things that are able to be foraged in the outdoors of Wisconsin. So I'm going to throw, I don't know if Chef Lawton's going to like this, but I'm just going to throw it out.
If I don't, I'm just going to leave.
Well, that's true. You do have that ability.
Then it'll be radio silence. Okay,
Jacob, lock the place down. Geez. I don't want to leave. I want to throw some ingredients at you from Wisconsin, and I want to see if you off the cuff can come up with a dish. You are fairly creative at that. That sounds fun, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and
do it.
And get ready, Danielle, because I'm going to throw some ingredients at you. Let's see. Then I want you to throw some at me and see if I can do it. Okay.
Danielle and I have other questions for you.
I'm so excited.
I have no idea what that means, but my life is pretty much an open book. So it's been in a fishbowl for the last 35 years. So
that's why we're being nice to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, here we go. Ready?
Okay. What do you got?
Wild turkey harvested during the turkey hunt.
Okay.
And then we're going to go with pheasant back mushrooms.
Okay.
And then we're going to go with asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell me.
Jeez, I didn't know there were going to be multiple components. Okay, keep going.
We're going to go with Wisconsin cherries.
Ooh.
What?
Easy. Oh my goodness. Okay, my answer is not going to be this quick. Let's hear it. What would you do with that?
You want me to tell you or not?
I do. Jacob's laughing behind in the fishbowl. I'm going to just be quiet over here so Chef Lawton can go ahead.
Okay. So that turkey, I would take it and I would do a bourbon cherry glaze roasted turkey.
I'm in. Can I test the bourbon?
Wow.
And then with the mushrooms, you left me mushroom to do this.
Okay. Dad joke.
I would make I'd probably do a peppery bechamel sauce to have on the side to put over fresh mashed potatoes, added an ingredient there. And then the asparagus, you know what? I think I would go a little wrap in prosciutto and bake it with some nice olive oil and a sea salt over it.
Oh my gosh. That is why she is a chef.
Wow.
That's what I would do with that meal.
Really impressive.
Wow.
Holy cow. I love it.
I do not want to play this game anymore.
I'm a little afraid. All right, Danielle.
Oh, and I get to do this to you guys, right?
Yes, no. Fun. My palms are sweaty.
Do you want me to go first?
I'll put all these ingredients in Pinterest and it'll give me a recipe.
Danielle, why don't you guys get...
With all those recipes, I've got a list.
You can go ahead and give me the items. You guys each pick the items.
Okay. I know you're going to love this. Pheasant's going to be the protein.
Okay. That's fair because you can hunt pheasant right now. Sure. Yeah. All right.
I'm going with lemon.
Okay. That's good, Danielle.
All right.
I'm going to go with things that we can forage in Wisconsin. So I'm going to go with some ramps. And some rhubarb.
Rhubarb?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
All right. So I'm going to take... Oh, this is way harder. You made it look so easy. First of all, I'm going to take the pheasant is going to be dusted in covey, which is
a buttery
tarragon sauce. I'm going to rub it with covey.
Okay.
And we're going to strip it out. into strips and flash fry it in cast iron to start with. Then in a separate pot, I'm going to make a lemon butter caper sauce. Butter caper sauce. And then with the asparagus.
Ramps.
Lemon butter, asparagus, and then we're going to finally dice the ramps, squeeze the juice out of them, and put them in the lemon butter caper sauce.
Okay.
And then with the rhubarb, you said rhubarb, yes. So I'm going to dice the rhubarb, and I'm going to dice pineapple.
Ooh.
And I'm going to put pineapple and rhubarb, and I'm going to sprinkle finely chopped bacon bits on top of it. I'm going to throw that in a pan, and I'm going to dust the top of it with a swine rub, which is
good.
A little barbecue-y,
a little bit smoky.
And I'm going to throw that on the smoker for 20 minutes. And we're going to have smoked rhubarb pineapple with the bacon bits on top
like
as the
side. Like a rhubarb pineapple chutney.
Rhubarb pineapple chutney. Yeah, so that would be the chef word for it. And then we're going to drizzle the lemon butter ramp caper sauce over the pheasant.
That sounds beautiful.
Did that
sounds
work?
Springy.
Did that
come?
Oh my gosh, we're
Chef
running out
Joel
of time.
Is doing great.
Okay, Danielle, ready?
I don't know if we have enough time.
I'm going to give you, Danielle, we'll make it really easy. A fillet of walleye.
Ooh, you already know what to do with this. You're a good cook.
And morels. Oh, I'm just going to put it into aluminum foil with some butter and asparagus.
That's beautiful.
You could not go wrong. That sounds
simple. And put it on my rec tech and I'm good.
Okay.
Bada bing, bada boom.
That sounds
I'm
fantastic.
Done.
Put it on your smoker. You could even do that. Look, you could even take Wisconsin salmon and do that on a cedar plank. That same exact recipe would be delicious.
Yes.
There, see? Oh, God. We all went into that. Now I'm hungry. Now, for some reason, the White Castle did not satisfy me. Folks, we love having you along. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco, Wisco, Wisco.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.